What a wonderful, wonderful morning. We are looking at Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, for the whole month of April. And I'm going to talk about the point of power is in the present moment. I have some personal experiences to share with you. But first of all, one of the things that we rely on most heavily, the most powerful spiritual practice is affirmative prayer. Is affirmative prayer. I've said almost every Sunday, if you want to transform your life, make an appointment to see one of these practitioners, and if you do, you'll be so happy you did. So when people have a result of prayer, it's called a demonstration because they're demonstrating the principle of oneness, the principle of truth. And now to share a wonderful story of demonstration, please welcome Ken Roebuck. This is on red, so it might, but anyway, we'll see how it works.
Okay. Rather than me get started in rambling, I'm going to read this so we get done in an appropriate time.
Okay.
Okay. I'm so blessed. I really am. I was exposed to the science of mind 22 years ago. I took a couple of classes with Dr. Jackie, and quite frankly, it just fit, if you know what I'm saying. I've given affirmative prayers at choir rehearsals and various other time things, but there was something missing. Then back in November of this year, I experienced a new life experience. As a part of my annual physical exam, my PSA kind of went off the chart. Long story short, it was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I affirmed to myself that this issue would be resolved with a positive outcome. I've always felt that way. In connection with that, I contacted Judy Chapman and explained the situation and asked for her practitioner assistance. We had a couple of meetings where we just talked and got to know each other. And then surgery was an obvious solution. Judy experienced how her personal medical challenges had been helped by her surgery. And so we really got together. Acknowledging the professional quality of the hospital, the staff, and everything else, it wasn't until the moment of maybe about halfway through the feeling that, aha, that's just what it was, aha. Kind of a cloaking warmth, along with her words, all came together. It had meaning, direction, and value that I cannot even begin to explain. To use an old cliche, the light went on. Judy was amazing. She came to the hospital. She sat with Barbara while I was in surgery. Although I was out of it, offered another treatment. I don't remember it, but I know, and I'm sure gratitude was a focal point of that treatment. Treatment now has a new, deeper, very significant purpose for me. Judy Chapman, along with her efforts, contacted a whole group of you practitioners, and I know the way I feel right now, there had to be a bunch of positive stuff going on out there. So, to Judy Chapman, who fortunately can't be here today, and to all the practitioners, I know Darylyn, and several others that were in the choir participated, I say thank you with my deepest, deepest gratitude.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, thank you. It's powerful to hear someone's result of prayer, so thank you so much. And no absolute perfect health for you, which is what we were praying for. The point of power is in the present moment. The point of power is in the present moment. I just returned from Valley Head, Alabama. I've told people on Saturday it was my first trip to the South, but I was confused. I had been to the South for the New Orleans convention. I've been to the South for the Nashville convention, but I didn't go out of the hotel, so I didn't really see Nashville. But I was in Valley Head, Alabama with the wonderful Edwin Gaines for 5 days. It was absolutely exceptional. I feel so blessed to be doing the work I do. I was with 29 other ministers, and we were just heaped on with love and with gifts and with gifts of consciousness. And then Thursday night, we culminated it with a fire walk. And she kept telling us all week long that if you're not called to do it, if you don't get a clear yes, don't do it. Because in her inimitable way, she said, I'm not taking nobody to the emergency room. So you don't dare go. If you get a no, you sit down and you don't walk that fire. Well, anyway, every time she would talk about it, I would get the fear signal in my pit of my stomach. And she kept talking. She said, you know, it's okay to be afraid. If you're guided that you will not be burned, if you're guided that you will not be born, even if you have the fear signal, do it anyway. So I did it anyway. And the first walk, she kept telling us, people who had done it before said such things as, it was hot, but it was okay. Other people said, it wasn't hot at all. It was kind of like walking on fine baby powder. And that's exactly what it was like for me. There was no heat. Now, here's the thing. We'd helped build this fire. It was huge. It was about 1,200 degrees or more. So just in case I was fooling myself, I walked it twice. The only way I could do that was by being in the present moment. The only way you can do anything powerful is in the present moment. So now my affirmation is, I walk on fire. I can do anything I choose. I can do absolutely anything I choose, and so can you. So can you. How many of you have already walked on fire? Hands up. Okay. How many of you would like to walk on fire? You know what? It is the most amazing thing. It frees you from, I mean, imagine, there is nothing you cannot do. Absolutely nothing that can scare you. She said, you know, she used to be afraid of all sorts of things like spiders and snakes. And she said, that's just a spider. I've walked on fire. She's coming in October, and she's done it many, many times. In fact, when she was training, she had to do it 107 times in a row. And she also had to do it until the coals were out, to keep walking until she walked the coals out. So she's a master firewalker and just an amazing spiritual being. And I was so blessed to have the whole week to just be in that consciousness of possibility and of gratitude and love. I want to tell you one other thing. You know, she's a master prosperity teacher. And the word master is maybe not even a big enough word, because she is such a great prosperity teacher. One of the ministers that was there was sharing, before ministry, he had kind of a good job. And then his job ended, and he was going to do contract work doing the same job. He did not tell us what it was, and it doesn't matter. But he said, when he figured it out, he was worth about $1,000 a day, but he said, I can't charge that much. He didn't feel worthy. She said, I could maybe charge $500 a day. So he charged $500 a day, and then it came to him not to charge anything at all, but leave it up to the clients and give them 90 days for them to pay for his services. His average was $5,000 a day. $5,000 a day, simply because, he said, the universe will provide for me. The universe, God provides. God is our source and the source of our supply, but the only time we can make changes is in the present moment. Yeah, wow, isn't that great? I was going wild quite a bit. Okay, so if I could have my PowerPoint, good. You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. I'd like to just say a few things about Louise Hay. Louise Hay has touched millions of people with her writings, with her speaking. Millions, not a million, many millions. Her book has been translated into many languages, her books. And her biggest contribution was during the height of the AIDS epidemic, where when you got AIDS, you died. She was working with AIDS patients, and they would do something called a hayride out of LA, and they would go, all of these very sick, mostly men, and they would have a conference about you can heal your life. The power of all healing is in you. She made a difference to so many people, and if you remember David Ault, he was one of those men. He sang in a group of three men. The other two men died of AIDS. And here he is, robust, strong, healthy. And you probably know, and I know, some people that were diagnosed with AIDS back in the day when it was a prognosis of end your life, get your affairs in order. And they're still living, and they're healthy, and they're happy. So something she said, did, or believed, must have helped these people. Now I'll tell you something else you may or may not know, because if you didn't read the back of her book about her life story, she healed it herself of cancer. She was trained by no other than Raymond Charles Barker of the New York City Church of Religious Science, which we're a part of now, called Centers for Spiritual Living. She trained as a minister. Where did she get her ideas? From the same book that I invite you to pick up and read, The Science of Mind. She got every idea. If you go through there, physical perfection, how to heal your life, it's right there, every single idea. She looked at it. She created affirmations for every single false idea, and people started healing. So at the end of every chapter of her book, she has something called PowerPoints. So this is, I'm going to share with you one of her PowerPoints. And maybe I will, because maybe it's on lock. Maybe it's now on unlock. Nope. Okay. Gina, if you could just advance it, it's not responding to me. How could that be? So the talk today is the point of power is in the present moment, and then let's just go into the next slide. Here are her points for this idea. She said, first of all, we are each responsible for our own experience. This is what we teach here, that everything that comes into your life, you're responsible for. That does not mean you're to blame for. It means you're responsible for. Something in you brought that to you. And either it brought it as a gift or as a lesson, something you can learn about yourself and your beliefs. Next slide, please. Every thought we think is creating our future. That is the best news, because we can always think new thoughts, but every thought we think is creating our future. And Ernest Holmes says, what's important is the tendency of our thought. Is it more positive or more negative? And when Mark Maldwin was here, we learned about the brain, that the tendency for us, even though we do not admit it, our tendency is toward negativity, that our frontal lobes want to go to fight or flight. And so our tendency is toward negativity. And when we catch ourselves in a negative thought, we need how many? Five positive thoughts to counteract that negative thought. Five positive thoughts. Okay, next slide, please. Everyone is dealing with the damaging patterns. Now, notice this is not someone, some people. Everyone is dealing with the damaging patterns of guilt, resentment, criticism, and self-hatred. Everyone is dealing with the damaging patterns of guilt, resentment, criticism, and self-hatred. You are not alone. Although you're unique in all the world, the same patterns that you are dealing with, so are other people in your life dealing with those same patterns. Next slide, please. This is the best news. Take a sigh. Ah. These are only thoughts, and thoughts can be changed. These are only thoughts. Who is the thinker of your thoughts? You are. Who is the one that is choosing the thoughts? You are. Next slide, please. We need to release the past and forgive everyone. The forgiveness is so important. It's one of the prosperity principles as well as being a health principle. We cannot afford to hold anything against anyone, but rather we need to let go of those of the past, or even if there's something in the present that is not to your liking, this is the moment, right now. Not later after the talk or tomorrow. Right now is time to let it go. Forgive yourself. Forgive everyone that has anything to do with this. Forgive. Forgive. And next slide, please. Oh, I know there's the next one because it's the point of power is in the... Okay. So, while I was researching this message this morning, I found a story by Tolstoy that illustrates this point wonderfully. Tolstoy wrote about a king, and the king realized that if he could only know three things, if he could know who to trust, what to do, and what to think in every moment, he would be filled with ease and grace and prosperity. So he asked all over his kingdom, and of course, you know, because it's a story, no one knew the right answer. So finally, he heard that there was a hermit that lived all the way out in the country, and the hermit was very wise. He was a sage. So he traveled to see the hermit, and he took off his kingly vestments and put on simple clothes, because the hermit would only talk to simple people, the folk, the country folk. Took off his vestments, put on that, and he left his bodyguard some distance, and he came into the hermit's area. And the hermit was, he had a shovel and he was trying to turn over soil. And with every shovel, he was breathing heavily. And the king said, I've come for three answers to questions that I know is going to support me. They are, and he told him again, the questions, who do I trust? What? How do I know? What do I do? And the hermit kept on digging, just like he hadn't heard him. And he realized that it was really paining him. So being a compassionate man, he offered to help. And he took the shovel and he started turning over and still the hours went by. And the hermit said nothing to the answer of his questions. And he finally, the king said, you know, if you're not going to tell me the answers to my questions, I should go. And the hermit kept allowing him to dig, allowing him to dig. He said, I'll take over for a while. He said, but look, someone's coming, the hermit said to the king. And this man was coming, and he was doubled over in pain, and he was bleeding from the stomach. And he was coming, the king held him and bound his wound, and the wound kept bleeding and bleeding, and he kept washing it and bandaging it and washing it and bandaging it. It just kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. Didn't stop. Finally, after hours, they got it to stop. And then both the king and the traveler that had been injured, the bearded man, was so tired. And so he took him in and put him on the hermit's cot to sleep and gave him a glass of water. And then he was also exhausted, so lay on the bed beside him on the floor. And later in the morning, when they both awoke, he saw the bearded man looking at him with tears in his eyes. He said, you've saved my life. And the king said, it was nothing. He said, but you don't understand. I was on my way to kill you. You're my enemy. And your bodyguards attacked me. And you saved my life. I am so sorry. Can you please forgive me? And so there was a reconciliation. And the king was so grateful for now this person that had been his enemy was now his friend and ally. And he said, but I still don't know the answer to the question. And the hermit said, Indeed, you do know the answer. The answer is who? The answer is who? First of all, it was me. You were helping me with my soil. And you helped. And you helped. And we worked long. And if you'd left, you would have been attacked. And what's more, you wouldn't have reconciled with your enemy. But because you were willing to and patient enough to keep plowing the soil and plowing the soil, not only did you come, but you helped him heal. You supported him. So it was me, and then it was him, your enemy, that was the person that was the most important in your world. So the truth is, wherever you are, and whenever it is the most important time, the most important person, and the most important place. Now is the only time there is. A wonderful story, and it's the same story that we say over and over and over again. When do we want to change our mind? Right now. When do we want a healing? Right now. Don't put it off till sometime later in the week. And for heaven's sake, don't think you can change the past. It's done. Accept it. And then let it go. Let it go. Learn that this point of power is right now in the present moment. Is there something that you want to heal? Is there something in your life that you can use those 7 points and make a new thought, change your mind? In Louise Hay's latest book, she has all 3 of her other books in one book, and it's also very glossy and pretty and so on. It's still called You Can Heal Your Life, but it's just beautiful. It's like a coffee table book, and it's the very same word for word, but it also has the entire symptom, disease, and affirmation in the back. It's a wonderful gift to give yourself her work. But even if you don't, here's the thing. Your body is always speaking in metaphor. Your body speaks in metaphor. So while I was in meditation, long meditation Edwin was doing, I was quite deep into the meditation, I lost her voice and I was deep. And then all of a sudden, as if someone was pulling my leg, my whole right leg just shook. It was like, okay, you know, sometimes when you're falling asleep and your shoulders, not in church, but other places, you know, when you're falling asleep, and you go, oh, it was like that, but my leg. So what do legs mean? They mean moving forward. They mean moving forward, taking the next step. And see, right side is masculine, so that's an energetic move. It's a real move. So I don't mean me moving away, but me taking the next step. So I have this huge vision I want to share with you, and I want to invite you, your prayers, to this vision. Our charitable trust comes to a completion in 10 years. Here's my huge vision. Our mortgage is paid in full before that charitable trust comes to completion. Will you pray for me on that? Will you join with me in consciousness, in prayer, with that vision that we are completely debt-free? If so, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Okay, so the only time to do that is right now. Take a deep breath and a great sigh. We're going to close. Diane's going to help us get ready for prayer by playing this wonderful piece. Listen to the lyrics. And if there's a moment for you to identify what it is you want to move forward toward, please identify it.
I am opening to your love. I am opening. safe in your arms, safe in your heart, safe in your arms. I am opening.
In this holiest moment of now, I know the truth. I know the truth of life, that the entire universe is for me, for us, that the entire universe is responding to my beliefs, my awareness, my practices, my feelings. And in this moment, I choose to let go of any false beliefs, to let go of anything unlike God. In this moment, I choose to remember the point of power is right here. And being made in the image and likeness of God, there is nothing separate from me, that I am one with all life, and that I am whole, complete, and perfect in every way. I know in this holiest of moments that I choose healing. I choose to heal my relationships. I choose to heal my sense of worthiness. I choose to heal my body, my mind. I choose to heal my prosperity, my finances. I choose to heal any sense of separation, and rising from that strength, I accept in a greater way all of the good that could have been mine had I been awake. I claim it all right now. I claim it. I know that this is the moment of wholeness, of healing, of life. And with my heart filled with gratitude, I simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for this moment, this reminder, for this truth. I accept it. It's already done. And please join me in saying, and so it is.